Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
It's a pleasure to have you with us today, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Jim Masters, and we're very excited to welcome Kathleen Panning to our show. Matter of fact, returning, and we're very excited. She is with Aflame Ministry Consulting. She's a retired pastor, leadership coach for faith leaders, popular host of the podcast entitled The Tilted Halo, and owner of Aflame Ministry Consulting. She coaches faith leaders in professional leadership positions by guiding and assisting them to reach their highest potential, live authentically, and become more efficient and effective in dealing with issues and challenges. She helps her clients uncover who they genuinely are and how to live faithfully with their God and, their God-given potential by offering the right coaching strategies that will empower them to find their own answers that will bring them insight, purpose, clarity, and enhance spiritual health and well-being. It's really amazing to have her here on the show. You know, when she does her cast, she talks about a lot of different things, and it's aimed at really any person or faith. That's the Tilted Halo. Any person of faith and leadership, designed to help them deal with the pressures of leadership, plus overcome fear and anxiety and get in touch with their authentic truth. Kathleen's previous show called Aflame Ministry has been heard on 6 continents, 25 countries. She draws on her inner wisdom and creativity discussing global issues while wholeheartedly reminding us how God and God's love is infinite and God never, ever leaves us, especially in dark, turbulent times. And Kathleen wants us all to embrace mindful living by practicing gratitude on a daily basis. She says, gratitude has the power to help us heal physically, emotionally, and spiritually. When we express thanks for all we have in our lives, we become more optimistic, empathetic, feel a higher sense of self-worth, and it deepens our faith. There's so much upheaval going on in our world right now. She believes we need to form a better sense of connection. Her website is KathleenAPanning.com. That's Kathleen, K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N, and then the letter A, and then Panning, P-A-N-N-N-G, and then, of course, .com. She's in Leesville, South Carolina. Very honored to have her here on the show for this next 30-minute exclusive close-up radio conversation. Pastor Kathleen, thank you very much for joining us here on the show. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here with you, too. And again, because we had a conversation probably about 6 years ago, so it's great to be back.
It really is, and boy, has the world changed in those 6 years on so many different levels. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. We could never have scripted any of it, but that's why you have to have faith to get you through all that life brings our way. Let's talk about, for those who are maybe hearing about you for the first time, tell us about what inspired you initially to go into coaching, the work that you've done that has sort of led you into this world of coaching, which is quite extraordinary.
Well, it actually came out of a very difficult time in my life and in my ministry. I was in about the fifth year of my second position as a pastor, and I was at the time serving at a very large congregation and was one of 5 full-time pastors. And a new senior pastor came on the staff. And after a number of months, he asked me to come to his office on a Friday afternoon and said he was going to allow me to choose. My options were to either resign or be fired. Not exactly the choices I had in mind by any means.
Right.
And actually, I was very devastated by that and felt like I had failed the congregation, obviously, felt like I had failed that pastor, and even felt like I had failed God. And I was on the verge of quitting ministry altogether. But I went through a year of what's called clinical pastoral education, which is not only a time where, as a pastor, I was serving in a 6 months in a hospital and then another 6 months in a long-term retirement community, but it was also a time where I got some coaching, and it really helped me to heal. Plus, I worked with and began working with, I should say, another person during that time, and started out by reading a book by this gentleman named Barry Kaufman, Barry Neil Kaufman. And the book was called Happiness is a Choice. A dear friend gave it to me shortly after I left that congregation and said that I read it. But the title, it seemed kind of like a cruel joke at the time because I was definitely not happy. But in that book, in the introduction, he talks about the way we choose to see the world creates the world we see. And I was seeing everything as a failure, myself as a failure, life as dim and depressing, and that's the world I was creating for myself without really knowing it. And so by looking at and seeing some different things, including the start of my work with gratitude and the power of gratitude, things began to change. And I began to shift my perspective on myself, on ministry, and the possibilities of that. And I went on to serve for another 13 years in a congregation, much of that with my husband in a team ministry, and then mentored 14 seminary students through their first 2 years in seminary education. And after retiring when I was ready, went on to do that other radio show that I've just recently ended, and now a podcast and all kinds of other wonderful things that at the time when I was given that choice, I never thought was possible. So yeah, it all started in another journey that created for me a realization of the power of coaching in my life. And I know how difficult ministry is, not just can be, but often is. And when I kind of pay that forward.
That's a beautiful thing to do and to say and to express and to connect with people. Let's talk about your role as a coach and the way that you go about doing the extraordinary things that you do. I know I mentioned during the introduction that you want us all to embrace mindful living by practicing gratitude on a daily basis, and you feel that gratitude really does have the power to help us all heal physically and emotionally and spiritually, and we certainly need that in our lives now more than ever.
Yeah, we definitely do. One of the things I do as a coach is first help people embrace their own story. It took me years before I was willing to tell that story to anybody else. Partly I felt ashamed and kind of worried about what kind of judgments others might have of me. So one of the first steps is to help other people, other ministers, faith leaders, or people of faith in business or in any leadership capacity, embrace their own stories, the good and the difficult parts. And to learn to be able to share that story, because we all go through one of the first things to do. And then to start a greater awareness of gratitude in their own life and the power that that can bring into current ministry, nonprofit work, or leadership in whatever they are doing, and bringing their faith into that, what they're doing, in ways that are going to be helpful and empowering to where they are.
That's really important, isn't it?
Yeah.
On so many different levels, it's just, it's essential for people to realize that. Why is it important for those in ministry to be coached? Some who are not in ministry might think that those in ministry have all the answers and they don't need to be coached, but everybody does, right?
Very much so. It didn't take me long in ministry to realize that with all the education I had, and I've had a lot, I have a master's degree, even when I first got out into ministry, there was so much that I did not know. And it became, it was very easy to make mistakes. It was very easy to not really know what to do in certain circumstances, or to say things that maybe weren't the most helpful. And at least when I went through my seminary training and even in college, there were no courses on leadership. And I don't know, I know that's beginning to change at some theological schools these days, but it's still beginning to change. So a lot of, in faith leadership, really don't have a foundation in leadership and how to work as a leader within their faith community or even within a business. A lot of small business owners go into a business with a wonderful idea and even the desire and passion to bring their faith into that business. But what does that mean to be a leader in your business and in your community? Those things, it's kind of expected that we know how to do that and or can just kind of organically figure it out. But we don't always do that. So having a coach and having someone there to walk with us through the difficult times, to add a new perspective, questions, not as judgment, but to ask questions to help open our eyes to other possibilities and to see, is the way we're doing things really helpful to us? Is it really helpful to other people? So, you know, I think everybody really needs a coach, quite frankly. But certainly people in ministry, because we're working with other people all the time, and it those human dynamics and relationships can be tough, and they can be messy sometimes. So it's good to have another perspective and someone we can talk through things with.
Exactly right, on all levels. I mean, when our car needs to be serviced, we take it to the mechanic. When our body has pain, we go to the doctor. So exactly, we all need encouragement from various sources. I mentioned also the podcast, The Tilted Halo. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a fun title with that. The idea of the podcast is that as especially women of faith in leadership, but anybody in leadership actually, like you mentioned, there's the pressure that we sometimes feel from others outside of us and the pressure we put on ourselves to be and seem like we're perfect, like we have all of the answers. And when that happens, all too often we fumble things and stumble a little bit, and any halo that anybody thinks we might be wearing gets kind of off kilter and askew. And so that's where the title of the podcast comes from. As leaders, we are not perfect. And the podcast highlights some areas of, okay, what do we do as these leaders? And not to highlight the imperfections, but what are some things we can do to do things better? And so that's where the idea came from. And I'm dealing, there's this season, I'm in the second season of it. There are two episodes on the power of gratitude and leadership. There's an episode on what are we tolerating and what does that mean and why? How small thinking kills ministry, it can kill business, it can kill relationships of any kind. And then coming up in season three, there's an episode on dealing with hard choices that people have to make, dealing with that with compassion, how to minister to both sides in a conflict without taking sides, hopefully. Things like balancing tradition and innovation, whether it's in a business or ministry or community, things about interfaith relationships and collaboration. So those are just a tiny little bit of what's coming up.
That's fantastic. That's exciting. You know, mm-hmm. It's critical on many levels to have good leaders within the religious sector, right? Tell us about why that is.
Most of the people in this country, in the United States at least, still, according to Gallup, have a faith in God or a spirit, higher power of some sort, and look to faith and faith leaders, even if they're not necessarily a member of an organized congregation or faith group, but expect these faith leaders to be people who have values, who they can look up to, who are people who help them understand kind of the bigger questions about life. Why sometimes, especially when disasters and traumatic things happen, how to get through these things. How to be resilient in the midst of many of the tumultuous things that we're experiencing, like how to survive COVID and, you know, the shutdown, and even now with the aftermath of all of that, and rethinking things with technology and the fast pace of change in this world, and want to cling to some of the traditional faith values, but know that they don't always jive with the reality of the world as we see it. So religious leaders need to be able to talk to people and help them figure out life, just the general day-to-day messiness and joys of life.
Yeah, on so many levels, absolutely. What do you think are some of the things that make you different and unique from other coaches that perhaps do what you do?
I've thought about that at times. You know, it's easy to think that, you know, one coach is the same as the next one, but we're all unique individuals. And one of the things I've learned is the importance of sharing my story, being vulnerable enough about that, and helping other people learn how to tell their story, which a lot of coaches do not do. Being open is another thing. Curious. I want to continue to learn, and I'm just curious about other people and who they are, what's going on, how they think, and what thinking and why they're thinking the way they are, and being grateful. Being grateful for every human being, not always for how every human being behaves, no, but each person I see as a gift, and to help that person find the giftedness within them and how to share that in ways that work for them and for others around them in a healthy way. And I've had additional training in many respects. I'm certified by my denomination as a chaplain in both hospital and long-term care settings. I've got training in a form of Socratic question and answer, which I use in coaching and mentoring type of relationship. I'm a Fascinate certified advisor and helping people see what's fascinating about them, how other people experience us as fascinating. I work with a community called Positive Prime, which is built on positive psychology and how to incorporate the best of positive psychology into who we are and what we do. So, and then just plain life experiences, which are unique to each and every one of us. So a lot of different things that go into making up each person, including me.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And when we realize that, it's a beautiful thing. What are some of the qualities you think a leader of the church should really possess in order to lead people effectively?
They need to be open first and listen. Too often when people have come to me as a pastor, they're asking questions, and the implication is that they want me to solve things and answer everything for them. But to me, the first and the most important thing to do is to be able to listen, because sometimes the question that they're asking is not really the question that they have. So the words that they're saying doesn't get to the depth of who they are and their question. So some really good listening skills is critical for all of that. Another thing is being curious and being open, being vulnerable. Kaufman, when I was working with him and doing some training, talks about people as being a curious alien, not pretending like, oh, yeah, I know what you mean about something, but tell me more about that. Why do you believe it this way? And looking a little deeper into what someone is saying and what they're thinking and how they're feeling. And too often we just respond and react to the surface level things. And so learning how to go a little deeper with people and within ourselves as well. And being as non-judgmental as possible doesn't mean approving what everybody does, but it means accepting them as a person and realizing that people do things based on the beliefs that they're holding and what they think is going to be the most useful for them at that time. And it may not be, and they may know that, but if we're judgmental, we'll react instead of helping them see more of who they are and who they really want to be. So being as open and non-judgmental as possible are a couple of the qualities that are really important to me in a good leader.
Beautifully said. You know, in these turbulent times, how does coaching keep people more grounded and keep their faith in God?
There's so much happening. I mean, the speed of change in our world these days, it's just accelerating. I think of she lived to be 102, by the way. And so she went from a day and an age where transportation was by horse and buggy to a time of putting people on the moon and airplanes and those kinds of things. But that took 100 years to accomplish. We're now talking about putting people on Mars. We're talking about conversations. I mean, the internet didn't exist when I started in ministry. And now we do worship services online, and live stream worship services became a necessity with COVID. And so the speed of change has become so much a part of our lives. We need to be able to stay grounded in something. We talk about God is not as the same today, past, present, and future. But what does that mean in the midst of all of this change? And all the change can be so disconcerting to people. As faith leaders, we are called to help people navigate that in a way that, you know, what's really essential about faith, about how we think about God, and to take those essential parts and then how does that apply to the life we're living today, to the changes we're seeing, to artificial intelligence, to the changes in medical technology, all of the wonderful and yet questionable and disturbing things that are going on, including within politics and the international atmosphere of life. So all of that becomes to navigate and helping people be resilient and still grounded in the midst of that is one thing that faith and faith leaders can help people do.
It's important for people to practice gratitude, and you encourage them to, don't you?
Yeah. Gratitude, when we live in gratitude, it helps us see the world differently. Like I said before, that quote, the way we choose to see the world creates the world we see. We can choose to see all of the problems there and become depressed. Woe is me. The world's going down the train, you know, going to pot. You know, all of that kind of stuff. And there's plenty of evidence that we could call on to say that. But we can also choose to see the good in people. We can choose to see the opportunities. We can choose to see the gifts that we have been given and the gifts in other people. And that's all part of gratitude. And when we open our eyes to seeing that, for me as a person of faith, first and foremost, my life is a gift. Every life is a gift. Every tree, every rock, every flower, bird, whatever, they're all gifts. I didn't deserve them. I didn't earn them. There's nothing I can do to deserve or earn them. But I can appreciate them. And when I start to see life that way, I see more gifts. I see more abundance. I see more possibilities and opportunities. And that's what living in gratitude can do. It brings joy to a community. It brings hope into the midst of life. And it also has some incredible health benefits, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And that's scientifically proven, by the way. So it's a very powerful attitude that we have the possibility to tap into.
Absolutely. This was really fantastic. I can't believe how the time went by so quickly. KathleenAPanning.com. That's Kathleen, KathleenA, the letter A, and then Panning, PANNING.com, is her website. This was really a pleasure, and the time went by in a New York minute, but I hope we get a chance to explore some more and hear more of your inspiration and positivity. This was really, really eye-opening, enlightening, and very, very positive today, a message we all need to hear. Thanks for joining us on the show, Yes, Kathleen,
thank
and I
you.
Hope we get a chance to chat some more and that you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you.
Thank you so much, Jim, and thank you to all your listeners, too, for tuning in.
Absolutely, and don't wait 6 years to come back and say hi.
Thank you.
That's it. You be well. You take care. Bye-bye now. Kathleen Panning of A Flame Ministry Consulting. Again, KathleenAPanning.com is the website. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, this episode archived in its entirety. So check that out if you would like to hear it again or share the link. For all of us here, thanks for being with us. We hope you have a terrific day, and I invite you to stay right there. We'll be back momentarily with another extraordinary guest right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a great day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.